The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2019 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2019. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
All right, Chris.
I'm going to sit on that side.
You want to sit on that side? Oh, yeah. We got a flip chart for Chris.
I'm a drawing kind of a guy, so I like to draw doodles.
Okay.
Which Doodles used to be our mascot. Does anybody remember Doodles?
A chicken.
He was a chicken. Anyways, it was really cool.
We moved away from that.
I'm old. Okay. Got it.
That gives you some space. Okay. So, I want you to tell us a little bit about, from your personal, you like to stand? Okay. Your personal experience with the Chick-fil-A culture.
Yeah.
You've felt it. You've been with Chick-fil-A for a long time, from a team member to staff to operator. So tell us a little bit about how you've been impacted and then how that impacts how you run your restaurant.
Yeah. Permission to tell my story?
Tell it.
So I'll tell my Chick-fil-A story. All Chick-fil-A stories are entertaining because they're never the same. And so I started Chick-fil-A when I was 16. So 25 years ago, I started working at Chick-fil-A. First job, best friend worked there, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. 16 years old, full tilt, I'm working 30 hours a week, and by the time I was 17, I told my operator, I want to do what you do. This idea of service, ministry, calling, and then competitive business, I don't know you, but I want to beat you sort of deal. You know, like, if we go play kickball right now, I'm going, wait, I want you on my team, and I'm just competitive, and I was like, wow, I love what you do. I also saw that the seminar that year was in the Bahamas, and I went, what was that about, Brad? And he's like, oh, we get together every year, and the Cathy family pays for it. Check. All right, so I was good to go, 17 years old. And so I went to college pursuing Chick-fil-A. That's what I wanted to do. And immediately applied to be an operator right after graduating. And I used the Chick-fil-A F word. Very, very, very critical that you use the Chick-fil-A F word correctly. And the F word at Chick-fil-A is flexible, right? Flexible. Hey, Chris, where do you want to be? You didn't know the Chick-fil-A
F word? I didn't know where that was.
No, the Chick-fil-A F word. Hey, operator, where do you want to go? I don't know. I'm flexible. Fantastic. What do you think about Sheboygan? I mean, just like, do you want to go to, you know, Cheyenne? Whatever. And so, literally, I was 22 years old and could go anywhere. My now wife was girlfriend, and we were just really, really flexible. And I became an operator at the age of 22. I had no idea what they were thinking, selecting me to be an operator at 22. I mean, wet behind the ears, and I was excited and spunky and passionate, but definitely realized I got in over my head. My very first P&L, profit and loss statement, at the end of the month, I couldn't tell if it was tears dropping onto the paper or sweat because the air at the mall had turned off at 9 p.m. It was 11:30 at this point in time, May 31st in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I called my fiance, Martha, and I'm like, I've made a terrible mistake. I don't know at all what I'm doing. You know, like all that training, I just, it went down the toilet. And so I got the opportunity to be an operator, to be an entrepreneur. So an owner-operator with Chick-fil-A is you're in business for yourself but not by yourself. And it was awesome. Got to do some fun stuff. Went to California and helped open one of the first freestanding restaurants in California. So we were taking the gospel westward, the chicken gospel, if you will. And people didn't know what Chick-a-fil, Chick-a-flick, Chick-fil-a. Any West Coast people or Northeast around here, you're going, what is that? I mean, we literally trained our team members from hospitality. People would walk in. If they stepped up to the counter, you could go ahead and, you know, how can I help you? But if they stepped back, we went through the whole spiel of, have you ever eaten a Chick-fil-A? And more than likely, it was a no. And they would say, I think I'll have a Chick-a-fil sandwich. And yada, yada, yada. So I got to be part of that movement. Loved it. Spent some time on the corporate staff. Enjoyed that. But I enjoyed the fact, I missed the fact that I didn't get the opportunity to be with team members. I missed the fact of being in the community, shaking hands and kissing babies, as we sometimes talk about. I missed that opportunity of being in the restaurant. And so went back to the restaurant in 2008. So I've been in Marietta, which is just up the road, for the last 11 years. So I love what I get to do. And I love what I get to do. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. But it's because it fulfills my purpose. And so you think about hospitality, and I think about Truett. Truett was just a larger-than-life figure, as you've kind of watched. Is anybody, or any of these stories really new? I mean, like, these are new stories, right? Do they make you smile, right? They make me smile. I mean, literally, I'm going, gosh, every time I hear his voice, It reminds me of my grandfather and reminds me of this person that I looked up to. And I got to meet Truett when I was 18 because I got a scholar. I was part of the first class of leadership scholarship and sat at a table and shake my hand. And it was just a humbling experience. And now I look back and I'm so, so incredibly thankful that I got to do something that now is not possible. And it had a huge impact on me. This idea of a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That story was, Truett actually chose that verse when he was five, right? Six? Mm-hmm. Kindergarten. That was the verse that he chose as his life verse. Wow, you think about the stewardship of that. Mm-hmm. 5, 6 years old, the impact that someone had on him. It was a mom and teacher that made that impact. Mm-hmm. And a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. And by the way, he did all right. So he ended up with a good name and the great riches happened as well. So as I think about hospitality, we just have an incredible opportunity of living out the name of the Cathy family that set this incredible trajectory for us. I love the fact that every day I get to do it. So
how do you make sure that your culture maintains that way? So you've been impacted. You mm-hmm. want to create that same level of care for your team. How do you make sure that it stays on track and it doesn't slowly drift?
Yeah. So anything intelligent, I say, generally comes from Andy Stanley or Tim Tosopoulos. Tim is the president of Chick-fil-A. And Andy has a great quote of, systems create behaviors. And so if you think about that, if I want something to happen, I need a system to make it consistent. And I don't know about y'all, but you have things in your life or I have things in my life. It's personal or at work. I'm going, why doesn't this happen consistently? Well, do we have a system in place to make sure that it happens consistently? Oh, well, there's the gap. And as you think about systems that you have and that we have in our restaurant, we need as leaders to be thinking systematically, not personally, right? Oftentimes, we look at an individual and say, this person isn't doing their job, when really it's the leader's responsibility to make sure that there's a system in place. We have way too many things that we blame on other people, honestly. And so how do I make sure personally, as I focus on my to-be list, not my to-do list. As I think about my journey, does anybody feel pressure, by the way, in the role that you play? All right, for everyone else who's lying, I'm going to try one more time. Does anybody here feel pressure to perform? All right, good, finally, we got some truthful people, right? So truthful people, and if I'm really transparent, after this, the reason why I have to leave is my wife and I are going to counseling. Why? Because we need it. Well, I need it. My wife doesn't need it. I need it, right? Because, man, I want to get better. And that is actually a system that we've put in our marriage that says we need weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever it is, check-ins to make sure that we are actually getting the behaviors that we want. And so think about, do you have a to-be list or do you have a to-do list? And when I stopped focusing on my to-do list and I started focusing on my to-be list, it is amazing the peace that has happened, right? The peace that transcends all understanding actually can happen when I systematically follow through on focusing on who I want to be, not just what I want to get done. The biggest lie that we can ever hear or believe is that if there were just more hours in the day, .. That's just a huge lie, right? As if we were that important and we could put a couple more hours in the day, then our list would get done. As if our list is more important than who we're called to be and what we do. So systems create behaviors. We think a lot about personality in our restaurant. So just for a show of hands and just curious, does anybody here use DISC or StrengthsFinders or Myers-Briggs or any of those in your organization? So if we really want to get tactical and we think about how do we implement, in our restaurant, we use DISC and we use it to interview people. We actually don't hire anyone without doing a DISC profile just to help understand who the candidate is, all right? So it is incredibly important to know the difference between an external factor, a personality issue, and a leadership issue, right? So DISC, well, I won't draw the picture, but DISC is really just about understanding how do you walk into a room. And so I know, so I'm an ID personality. I am through the roof extroverted, right? I have to discipline myself to do anything that's sitting down, right? My wife, because God has a sense of humor, is the absolute opposite of me, right? So if she does too much extroverted stuff, she's like, I need some time to reset. Is that anybody in here? You read a book, you need to sit down on the couch. Of course you don't raise your hand because you're more reserved, right? So
it's
just kind of how it works. But we know as a restaurant, when we started going through this organizational change of leveraging DISC and understanding the personalities of each one of our team members, not just our leaders, but each one of our team members, we have been able to separate issues that could be organizational, strategic, with, wow, this person is really reserved. They're supportive and cautious. I'm inspiring and dominant. I understand why I scare Juana every time I walk up to her, right? She likes things to be really reserved. She's a Prius, I'm a Ferrari. So I'm driving really fast and she's trying to slow down. So I would challenge you, if you do not have that in your organization, you need to. You need to figure out who you are, who each individual is, not so that you can put them in a box, but so that you can understand them. Would anybody here like to understand themselves better? Understand your spouse better? Understand why that teacher just doesn't seem to get it, right? You've never had this moment, okay. In those things, when we say, why is this person doing that, really, that's a personality issue. That's not something you're failing as a leader. And so who do I want to be? I want to be a man who actually lives out his values. And then I have strategies, we have resources that we leverage to simplify and clarify things in our organization. I hope that makes
sense.
That's great. Yeah.
So when you think about expectations rising, we talked a little bit about the Amazon effect and how expectations rise. How do you maintain what you have, but also then start to exceed? Because I think for a lot of you in the room, you probably offer an incredible experience, and then you have parents that start wanting more, and you have to raise the bar even higher.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
So thinking steps, not programs. That's another Andy Stanley quote. And then the concept behind that is we're thinking about steps, not trying to find the program to solve the problem. Because if you're trying to solve a problem with a program, that eventually is going to stop working, right? And you think about this. How many of y'all have shopped at Kmart recently?
Yeah. It's not.
Right? Right? And you're like, and why? Why are you not shopping at Kmart? They're no longer in business. And why are they no longer in business?
They didn't keep up.
They missed it, right? They missed the curve. I mean, nothing against them, but they just missed it. They didn't innovate. They actually were too set on a program, not continually thinking about steps to reach their potential, right? Yeah. Forget about perfection. Focus on progress is what my personal business coach would tell me. Forget about perfection. Focus on progress. Forget about perfection. Focus on progress. But I've got to do this perfectly. No, that's the lie, and that's why we get into these traps of, so what do we do? I mean, this is a conversation with our leadership team all the time. But Chris, the expectation gets getting higher. What are we going to do? You know, so going back to these second mile service practices, somebody said umbrellas, right? Mm-hmm. So then it's like, okay, so we do umbrellas when it rains. And then we go out there and we clean windshields just in between. And we're like, you know, hi, how are you doing today? Well, we're going to clean your windshield. Can I do anything else for you? Need an air freshener, car mint? What, you want me to burp your baby real quick? Okay, but you know, like, so that's not sustainable, right? So you keep thinking, we've got to come up with another program. We've got to come up with another thing. Well, that's the lie. Mm-hmm. Think steps, not programs. And that mentality will create health for you as a leader, for you to be able to set the right tone for your organization. Because your organization has to grow, right? And growth is not given. Growth is not a given. It actually takes intentionality to grow. Operators, so owner-operators, we talk to each other, and we're experiencing growth problems at Chick-fil-A, right? So there's two types of problems in business and in nonprofits and schools and parenting. There's growing issues and there's shrinking issues, right? How do we get more customers? We're over going, what do we do with all these customers? I'm so glad we have this problem, but what do we do? And if we don't, and if we aren't careful, we'll actually be ungrateful for the problems that we have, right? And so I challenge you to think from the category of do not try to come up with a program, because you'll then find yourself dealing with this issue, which is going, how do we get parents? How do we get students? Versus how do we keep going to the next level and being a great steward? The second thing I would say is that I dropped comparison, right? I don't know if y'all have a school near you or if there's some other competition that's around you, but competition in that way, aka comparison, is the thief of all joy. Right? Our joy gets stolen. My joy gets stolen when I drive by another Chick-fil-A and they're wrapped around the building with cars, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that dude doesn't try at all, right? I mean, people just show up at his restaurant. I do all these amazing things. And he's in front of a Home Depot. Yeah, people just show up to Home Depot, and I'm in front of Aldi, right? Gee whiz, I mean, no one goes to Aldi. Well, some people go to Aldi, but they don't eat with me. You know, like, so I go through this whole story. And it's all out of comparison. And next thing you know, remember, I've said we've got growth problems, and yay, we're trying to solve these growth problems. And I'm not complaining that I don't have bigger growth problems. Wait, what? How did that just happen? Well, it's out of comparison. And that comparison will absolutely rob us of our joy. One practical thing that we've done is there was a group of 15 operators. We got together with an executive coach, counselor, and he's been leading us through a journey for 3 years, right? I looked around, and ironically, there's Brad, the operator that I work for. He's in this group. There's David, who is his general manager, who's now an operator, in this group. And I'm looking going, wait, so 20 years from now, I'm still going to struggle? Yeah. We're still going to need to be healthy. We're still going to need to have others around us. And it's not about comparing. It's about going on that journey together. Because I'm looking around, and out of just absolute morbid curiosity, I started doing what these guys made per hour. Because I'm the lowest volume and income person in the room, and I'm just going, wow, that's crazy. Figured at that level, you probably wouldn't have these problems. Well, that's the lie that we all fall into, or at least I do. Maybe I'm the only one that falls into that.
I love that, going together.
Yeah. Like
you can be in your lane, but go together and bring others along on the journey.
Yeah.
I love that. So one thing you talked about, like ultimately where you want to be, and it made me think about a great video we have of what do we want customers to say? And so what do you want your parents, your teachers, your students, what do you want them to say? And the more that we design with that in mind, it's that being, not the to-be list, mm-hmm. not the to-do list. This is who we want to be. So I want to show this to you, and it's going to be one of those four questions, the final question, actually, of what is it that you want your customers, your parents, your teachers, and your students to say?
Why do you come to this Chick-fil-A?
I definitely like the food.
I love the food. I love the service.
Well, I like the food and everybody. The customer service is always great. Everyone's friendly.
And the coffee is terrific.
I think we come here so often is because it's quick and they're so friendly and the food's great.
How often do you come to Chick-fil-A?
I would say I probably come here maybe 5 or 6 times a week.
A little too often, I think 2 or 3 times a week.
Probably 3 or 4 times a week. I work right down the road.
Today's Thursday. I eat Chick-fil-A Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then today I just ate Chick-fil-A.
How often do you come to Chick-fil-A?
Third time this week being here.
At minimum of 3 times a week.
About every day for 10 years.
Every day for 10 years?
Yeah.
Wow. What would your life be like without Chick-fil-A?
Oh, well, that's a dark question.
Where's the sign to boycott? I mean, so we gotta march on this place. Bring Chick-fil-A back, whatever it takes to bring them back, don't let them go. Please don't leave.
Yeah, I would demand a new Chick-fil-A. Demand
it. I would have to cook a lot more.
Y'all don't want me to cook, do you?
No.
I would be very upset if Chick-fil-A went away.
That'd be sad. It'd be very sad.
I would not be able to live without just the number one.
Oh my God, if Chick-fil-A were to leave, I would not know what to do for breakfast.
I could not live without Chick-fil-A sweet tea.
It'd be pretty sad.
It would be.
Wouldn't have any good waffle fries.
No.
But it's more than the food. It's definitely, I mean, I would miss these people.
Rose, Brian.
Segundo, Matt, Janae,
Jesse,
Jane, Irene,
Amanda, Miss Maria.
That's a tough question. I don't know if I can imagine life without Chick-fil-A.
Oh, it would be lonely.
why you come to this Chick-fil-A?
The people.
The people. The people are the best thing about this Chick-fil-A.
When I come in here, I feel like I'm at home.
This is my Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A is family.
Tell me more about that. How does this make you feel like you're at home?
I feel welcome.
I know everybody here, and they're like my family. And so it's, if I'm not going to eat at home, I come to Chick-fil-A.
It's like almost like going home and having your mom cook your favorite meal.
Actually better at home because they wait on me.
I don't know of a corporation that cares enough for a local place like Chick-fil-A.
They're doing it so well that you think this is the only one.
Like, this feels like a mom and pop run thing.
Good food can sustain your body, but great community sustains your soul.
When I go to other establishments, I am a number. It's my dollars going across the table. Here, it's not a transaction, it's a relationship.
So this final question is around, what do you want your customers to say? And we threw up a few examples of, I can't imagine my life without them. How did they do that? I mean, I think about brands like Amazon for that. I just returned something the other day, and then poof, I get the money right back on my account, and easy as pie. They genuinely care. They thought of everything. Disney is incredible with that, every little detail. I feel like they're on my side. I had a brand where I had to return a product, and they sent me the right size immediately back. And I thought, wow, you trust me. Fact is, if it didn't hit UPS, they were going to double charge me. But I felt like they were truly on my side in that moment. I'll never forget that. It was so simple. I have to tell somebody about this. Social media makes it really easy to tell people about your experiences. So what do you want your customers being, your teachers, your parents, your students? What do you want them to say? And the more we design for that, the more potential that we will be able to reach that. So we think about it in this guest journey. If this was a dine-in guest, and we break down every touch point of that journey, and then innovate on that. How do we improve the queuing experience? Does anybody remember the grace-filled mosh pit, as our customers called it? It was in front of the counters, and there's no line, and you don't know which register to get in front of, but inevitably, you're probably getting in front of the wrong one, and the other lines are going faster, and our customer said it feels like a mosh pit, but a grace-filled mosh pit. Yeah, a grace-filled mosh pit. But then we're like, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. We need to put in queue lines and make it a more systematic, orderly process. Or if you've been in the drive-thru and there's iPads in the drive-thru so that we can make it more personal but also faster. So innovating along that and then thinking through how to make it more caring and more hospitable at each of those key points.
So before you go on, so one of the keys to that is you have to have leadership at each one of those levels. Mm. And so in the at the support center, they're innovating, but our responsibility in the restaurant is to actually implement it. And how do you implement it? You implement it by having leaders who are passionate about it that leverage the systems. You know, yeah, great, you have a system, but who is actually caring about this? Who is pouring into it to make sure that it happens 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday?
That's right. Otherwise, it just sits on a shelf. Yeah. It's a concept or a theory. But...
Or it creates inconsistency, and inconsistency actually hurts trust,
absolutely,
right? So if I call you the first time, I mean, you call me the first time, and you say hello, and I go, hey, what's up? How are you doing? You call me the second time, I'm like, what do you want? What do you do the third time before you call?
Brace yourself.
What am I doing, right? So you come to a Chick-fil-A drive-thru one time, it's 3 minutes, and you get on social media, and you tell everybody and their sister, and it gets 217 likes, and you're like a bunch of wows and all that kind of jazz, and then the next time you come through, it's 12 minutes. Well, the next time, the third time, you say, wow, we've got to be at my son's doctor's appointment in 10 minutes. I can't. And so we've lost that trust. And you lose that trust in the same way, just because that's how the human mind works. Mm. There are other things to do than your deal. Right? Mm. There's other things to do than my deal.
That's right. So when you're thinking about training, whether it's different points on the guest journey or it's components like the core four. These are four key elements of hospitality that we talk about as a broad organization. Eye contact, smiling, the tone of voice, speaking enthusiastically and staying connected, or it's around language of say this, well, not
go,
that.
Go back real quick. I want everybody to stand up for a minute. Everybody stand up. We need some energy. Told you I was the extrovert here. Let's get some energy. So Mark Cathy, who is a third generation of the Cathy family, he's got hand motions that go with this, all right? So I need everybody to do the deal with me. Do the hand motion. There we go. We're getting active. Let's be, so we're going to create eye contact, all right? Are we doing it right now? I'm creating eye contact. What are we doing next? Share a smile. There we go. All right? It takes more muscles to frown. There. What are we going to do next?
Speak
with enthusiastic tone, right? And then we're going to stay connected to make it personal, right? We're going to stay connected to make it personal. All right, so y'all can do that, right? Y'all can take that back. And you can actually change it to whatever you want to do. If you want to add something else, that's great. But it is critical that we do this. You know, when we're teaching someone, and in my restaurant, we actually say the word next is a cuss word, right? Because you go to a lot of places and it's this. So you're the next guest in line and they do this. I can help the next guest. As if guest made you feel special. Instead of saying the word customer, they just called you a guest to the ethereal world that you just spoke to. Opposed to going, how you doing, sir? I can help you right over here, right? That creating eye contact is critical. Opening a car door, like I said, on those car lines. You're up. Good morning. How are you doing today? Awesome. Hey, Tommy, how are you? All right, y'all can sit down now. All right, great. I was going to make y'all do burpees or, you know, jumping jacks if there wasn't good participation, so y'all did a good job.
Well done.
Thank you for participating in Core 4 training.
Well done. Well, whether it's this, Core 4, or this is always a helpful one that we use, instead of saying, say this.
Yeah.
So using elevated language, back to what Horst inspired us to do. How does that show up within the team member journey? How do you train for that when you have a new team member? Obviously, you're selecting a great employee, but then there's a lot of training that takes place.
100%. Do any of these surprise you just out of curiosity? Do any of these feel, just so much better? Anyways, I'd love a response.
No problem. I love the no problem.
No problem? No problem. Somebody like, what's another one that really gets you, or you love or you hate? Hi, guys.
Anything else, too?
Yeah.
Because then it's like, I just ordered for 5 people. What do you mean, anything else?
Anything else.
Like, yeah.
Good point.
How much money do you want?
What else do you need? I'm going to kick my dog while you're here. Yeah. So how do we think about it? So we think about training is that training changes behavior, right? So ultimately training someone is changing a behavior to meet or exceed an expectation, right? So if you're doing physical training, the goal is to meet a goal, right? It might be weight, it might be strength, it might be something in that category. So you must have training. And as we think about it in our restaurant is that what we've created, and we have a chicken MBA is what we call it, right? And so the idea is that we are wanting to help people grow their leadership acumen. We want them to grow as individuals, not just Chick-fil-A-ites, right? And we want you to come in and be engaged to reach your full potential. That's actually our vision statement in our restaurant, to engage and develop the full potential of every team member. Well, how are we going to do that? So we have a training system. Our training system is multi-levels of different checklists and videos and things that we've created to make sure you move somebody from A to B to B to C, C to D. Not just saying A, getting them really excited, hospitality, awesome, blah, 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 get to Z. Right? Does anybody feel like that? Does anybody hear like that? And maybe you've had a boss. If their boss is sitting next to you right now, don't elbow them. But if you ever felt like that, right, they gave you this great vision of Z, but then they didn't give you the steps to walk through it. Well, that's what your role is. That's what my role is they'll have to implement all this great stuff they're sending to us in the restaurant. So the corporate office, the support center, sends everything down a funnel, right? And my vision of that is I sit at the bottom of that funnel as the operator. So I'm either the cog or the clog, right? So I'm the cog that goes click, click, marketing, click, click, operations, click, click, food safety. You send something to me, let's just say all at the same time, and I'm like, what do I do? So we have to think about that as leaders. How do we, in our organizations, in our schools, how do we actually train people to get from this, not just the what, but the how and the why? We've got to give that all of that training. And when you do that, you're actually giving meaning to your team, right? You're helping them. And you're helping them by, and this is where I'm going to draw. So if I could starting to put all this stuff together that we're talking about, and I apologize that it's not going to be really big for the outside. But the reality is, if we want to get our organizations to grow and to change, so if the ultimate goal here is sustainable change, right? Sustainable change. If that's the ultimate goal, we can just focus on results, right? So that could be what we will focus on. And I think that y'all have realized that that's not our goal at Chick-fil-A. And we hope it's not yours. Because if you just focus on results, that's a fast drive-thru. Great. Does anybody know what the percentage of customers that come through our drive-thru? What do you think the percentage is that comes through drive-thru versus dine-in? 50? How many think it's more than 50? You guys are like, 70, I've been in that drive-thru. I feel like it's 90%. It's ridiculous. Yeah, but, you know, it's according to what time. For us, for breakfast, it's 75%, right? For all the day, it's about 64%. So I can just focus on the results. Guys, we got to get more cars to the drive-thru. But that's not sustainable, is it? So we can go a level deeper, and we can go to systems, right? Results is all about what and when. Systems is about where and how. But that's not even sustainable. Just because I have a system doesn't mean that you're actually bought in, right? And I look at that. We employ 14-year-olds to 94-year-olds in our restaurant. And I can just beat into them, right? Beatings will improve. Beatings will continue until morale improves. We can just keep focusing on results, and we can have systems. But ultimately, if we want sustainable change, it has to be on an identity level. We have to put it all together, and we have to focus not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Any Hillsong for your singing the song right now in your head, from the inside out. My soul cries out. Oh, we've got to be healthy on an identity level, individually and organizationally, to be able to implement systems that ultimately get the results. How long do you, pop quiz here, Truett announced, we're going to say my pleasure to the organization. What year? What, anybody remember? 2001, right? 2002, 3. And then when did it, anybody hear of how long he pushed on it until the organization started getting it? I saw it mouth right there. 10 years. That's so disheartening. Right? If I'm Truett, I'm going, I said it on Tuesday.
Right.
We're going to send it out. And by Friday, we're done with this deal. How many people feel that? Right? And this is why. This is it. We got to integrate all this together. We can't just say we need to get these results and we got to have these systems. Or just I'm going to be healthy. We actually have to take this and move from the inside out. And when we do that, all of this is integrated, right? The definition of integrity is, Henry Cloud has a great definition of the courage to meet the demands of reality. It is hard to be a leader. It requires courage. There is courage that's required to meet the demands of reality, and that's what we need as leaders. That's what we need as in charge of school or in charge of this department or in charge of whatever restaurant or system that we own. And so training is critical. It is the how, right? It's the system that makes it all happen.
So culture, we've talked about how you are creating culture in your restaurant. We've talked about rising expectations. We talked about training. So what's the actual impact when you think about hospitality and you have the freedom to make choices about what you're going to focus on and how your restaurant's going to show up? What would you say the actual impact of hospitality, of those pretty simple behaviors and shifts?
Yep.
They can be hard to train, but they can be pretty simple. What's the impact been?
Yeah, so I'm going to use some specific stories. So Hugh is a longtime customer, and Hugh ate with us, and his wife, Carrie, ate with us all the time. Well, Hugh got cancer. And when he was going through chemo and going through all the procedures, he could only eat certain things, and it had to be fresh. I mean, the concept of bacteria, I mean, there are viruses and all this stuff, he had to be very, very careful. And so what we realized is he could have things, but literally food had to be freshly cooked. I mean, it had to be right out of the cooker just to make sure there's nothing. So one of my team leaders came to me and said, would it be okay if I took care of Hugh's food while he's going through training? And I'm like, that's amazing. And then, of course, my thought was, I'm not going to let you do that. I mean, this is a college student. I know she's struggling to pay bills, and she's got three siblings and all this kind of stuff. But, wow, the heart of that leader, it was caring. She just cared for Hugh and for Carrie, and out of her heart chose to do that, right? Hmm. Very.
She paid for his food.
Yeah, she was doing it, and I was like, no, okay, we're going to pay for that. Let's just take care of that as the, you know, marketing budget. It's not part of the marketing budget, but we're just going to, let's take care of that. We're going to take care of that guest.
Find a budget.
We're going to figure it out, right? Because we're going to take care of them. Hmm. Another great example of hospitality is Miss Frieda. So Miss Frieda was our angel. I mean, she was the wisest woman ever to be on this earth. She would come in and she would order her food, and there was always special stuff, but she would pray for our team members individually because of the relationship that we create. When we'd hire a new team member, she would say, "Who's that?" And I was like, "Oh, that's Andrea." Great. She goes, "Well, send Andrea over." And we'd sit Andrea down, and Andrea would kind of go through Frieda orientation, all right? And she would get to know, and she's like, "When I come in," and yada, 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 "and how can I serve you?" What? Hospitality got flipped around. Mm. We were now being cared for personally by a guest. Mm. Now, she didn't buy that much food. So eventually, I made it where we took care of Miss Frieda's food. But when the end came, she passed away, and I was at her funeral, and literally her family would introduce me to her. This is the Chris that Frieda would always talk about. Like, "Oh, I know you, Chris. How are your twins? How old is Anna Claire?" I mean, these people I never met before, right? They lived in Texas. They're in West Virginia. They're in Florida. And this is what's happening. Mr. Dunn, his family, I knew him so well. His family asked me to be a pallbearer in his funeral. What? Mm. All because of chicken, right? Mm. The hospitality that we get to implement and we get to do. I'm going to share one more story, but before I do, I'll draw one more picture for you. And this is interactive again. No burpees or anything. But what's the opposite of easy? Hard. Fantastic. Y'all are doing great. What is the opposite of simple? Yeah, complicated, right? I don't know why I just capitalized simple. That is totally my high I personality right there. All right, so in life, do you want your life to be simple or complicated?
Simple.
Simple. No one wants to keep up with the Kardashians, all right? Y'all shouldn't laugh. Y'all never watched that show, have you? I've personally never seen it before, but, you know, I don't want my life to be a train wreck, but sometimes it's entertaining to watch a train wreck, you know? Drama is no one gets up this morning and says, "I can't wait for my life to be dramatic. I just want problems and drama and all kinds of stuff." No one says that, at least that I know of. But then when they do, they make a TV show out of it. So in your life, you want your life to be easy or hard? No, you don't. You want to change the next generation? You want to teach kids so that they are empowered with knowledge? You want to be married? You want to live indoors? You want to go on vacations? None of these things are easy. And this is the lie that we believe. We believe that if I choose easy, that it leads to simple. Actually, easy leads to complicated. I've got a dollar. I'll buy a lottery ticket. I want to make easy money. $5, $10. Next thing you know, I can't pay my bills. Complicated. I currently have a team member who's homeless. We found this out last week. And we found that out because his mom had taught him to never do the hard, simple thing, which is to ask for help from people that love you. She said, no, you don't do that. You go and you do everything you can before you ask for help. Well, he's just trying to do, "Oh, I just got to make this easy. I don't want to stress anybody out." And his life is now complicated, right? This is a game changer. And this is something I do with every 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 34-year-old, and I do it. And when they're like, "Oh my gosh, that's why that never worked." I mean, yeah, I mean, this is a principle. It's like gravity. It works whether we like it or not. Principles work whether we like them or not. And so this principle is really what hospitality is all about. It's really simple. Smile, right? It's really simple, right? We said it's cheap, but it pays great dividends. But it actually can do even more than that. It can actually have a profound impact. And I'm going to read you an actual customer story. So this individual, you can do a backstage tour at the corporate office at the support center. If you'd ever want to, you can go to Chick-fil-A.com and do that. That'd be awesome. And so this is the feedback that he gave when he left. So he wrote this in. He said, "I just wanted to thank you for having us on the tour. My children and I really enjoyed our time with Chick-fil-A and the family while visiting. I also wanted to thank you for the challenge coin. I gave out this challenge coin during the tour. That was a very sincere gesture, and it means a lot to me. Chick-fil-A has a very strange slash special meaning in my life. Like too many veterans, when I came home from my last deployment and left the military, I struggled to adjust to my new life. When my wife left me and it all fell apart, I really hit a dark place. I ate my meals exclusively at Chick-fil-A, at a Chick-fil-A. I was depressed, very depressed. I ate for sustenance and nothing more. I hated people. I hated myself. I was a hateful person. None of that mattered because every time I went to the restaurant, the staff was exceedingly kind. At first, I thought it was fake, and they were forced to be kind. Later, I learned it was sincere kindness that percolated from the top down. It was literally the only place I felt welcome. It was the only place I felt like a real person again. I ate so many meals all alone, but I never felt like a cast out. One day, I decided to end my life. I wanted Chick-fil-A to be my last meal. I made a plan to take my own life. I went to my local Chick-fil-A. I was convinced no one cared about me. I was convinced I didn't matter. I walked in, got my greeting. I didn't care. I convinced myself it was all fake and no one mattered. Least of all, me. Then something unexpected happened. The cashier greeted me by name. He remembered me. He knew I existed. He would know if I never returned. He really cared about me. It changed my life. It saved my life. All he was doing was being kind to a stranger who ate too much chicken. Here's the thing. If I ever feel alone, I go to Chick-fil-A. I go for the good food and the warm greetings. I go for the kindness. I go for the appreciation. The staff is happy to see me. They are happy I'm spending time there. I made this trip to learn more about Chick-fil-A. I never in a million years thought I would stand at a desk of the man that made this all possible. Truett will never know my story. He will never know that the thing he created saved the life of a lost veteran struggling to find reason to live. He was just making a chicken sandwich, feeding his neighbors and taking care of his family. But he also saved my life. Kindness saved my life. When I stood by his desk, I felt something special. I will never be able to thank you enough for letting me have that experience. If you ever question, am I making a difference in the world? Please understand, you are. It's just powerful, right? Just a chicken sandwich. And more than likely, just a high school, college, or somebody who just is nice. And so hospitality is powerful because it's rooted in this purpose. It's rooted in this identity. If it's not rooted in your identity, well, then it'll eventually fade away, right? So the challenge and the encouragement is to do that. Do that work of figuring out, is this part of my identity? Am I actually wanting to be kind? Am I desiring to be caring? Am I desiring for this to be the culture of our school? Or is this just another program that we're implementing? That's the decision, right?
So here's how we want to close. We want to close with a very personal question that Chris just touched on. And we've talked about why. We've talked about how you want your employees and customers, what you want them to say. But we want to end with this question. How do you want to be remembered?
Shall I let Kathy interview?
Okay.
I have a last question. How would you like to be remembered?
I think I would like to be remembered as kind, generous, loving. Faithful, dependable, person with integrity. Many of those attributes that we all seek and should desire, I think the things are just a quality individual.
Okay.
we normally attach success to material wealth, but that's not success at all. A man is successful in many areas of his life, his relationship with the Lord, his relationship to the family, to his community. I've been richly blessed. I've received far more than, you know, I deserve to have. It's a reminder to me as I come into work each day, why am I coming to work? Why am I alive? I would hope that I have had a positive impact on a lot of people.
Well, let's thank Elizabeth Dixon and Chris Darley for being here. We're about at break time. Just a few closing comments before we're going to take about a 20-minute break. I believe there's coffee. There may be some cookies making our way. Michelle, is that happening? 5 minutes. We've actually got Chick-fil-A cookies coming to go with your coffee. So that's going to be a little treat for you here. Be here in just a few minutes. I do want to mention a couple of things. When we come back, we're going to kind of finish up the morning by asking very much for you to participate with us. One of the things Chris talked about was training, and I know that one of the secret sauces behind the secret sauce, Chris, is taking, and I don't know how you do it, you take, you know, an average pimply-faced teenager and you turn them into a my pleasure person, as I like to call them. That process of training, you talked about it, it's a powerful and very intentional system that you've created. And back in 2006, I received from Woody Falk, who was part of the Chick-fil-A team, training cards that were part of the way that the owner-operators would actually train and indoctrinate, if I can use that word, the local team into how do you really get someone to understand deeply these values and then live those out. And so we have gone through about a six-month process of taking a set of cards and turning them into classical Christian training cards, and we're going to work with those together. It's going to be something you can take back to your schools, but it's just a way, how do we get alignment, how do we get connection in this vein of training? So we're going to take a look at that when we come back to the tables. And Michelle is going to be up here in just a moment. If you would be willing to share one of your stories for our 3 o'clock case study time, if you can, we need about 10 of you to come up, grab a form, you just quickly jot down a problem that you're looking at your school, and then you'll be at a table with a group of colleagues that can kind of work through that with you. We'll be doing that at 3, but we want to go ahead and get that set up right now. So anything else? Cookies are coming. Okay, cookies are coming down the stairs. It's really getting close. So, okay, that's really important. So, great. So Michelle will be up front. We're trying to run a pretty tight schedule. At 11:10, we're going to get started right back here. But don't miss the cows and the cookies and the coffee, the 3 C's. And again, thank you very much. Have a great break. We'll be right back together.